Reed's Ranch is proud to partner with Marcos Garza and the Garza Law Firm. Oh, man, this weather this week in Knoxville. It's been beautiful. It's been perfect. I've seen people out there doing some patio day drinking. Call an Uber. Be careful. Take a taxi. Walk. Don't get behind the wheel. But if you do find yourself needing legal representation, Marcos Garza and his team are East Tennessee's premier DUI defense lawyers. If you find yourself in a jam, you're going to want the best result possible. You're going to want the best team in your corner. Don't say guilty. Say Garza. GarzaLaw.com or call them at 865-540-8300. You can get through to someone 24/7, 365. Marcos Garza and his team also handle personal injury and criminal defense. If you need a lawyer, Marcos Garza has your back. Let's get to the episode. We talk a lot of basketball, a little baseball, a little Russia, Ukraine. Let's go.
I mean, this is the last stand.
You're listening to The Unfiltered.
Well, I hate to say I told you so.
There's nothing to be done besides to get on Twitter and tweet to all my dumbass followers.
But I told you so.
Hey, I told you so.
The controversial.
He's a dumbass. He can't do math. He's an idiot. He gets his haircut at Walmart. Look at that shitty haircut.
The realest podcast in the Southeast.
Let the dogs loose. Let the goons be goons. 11 in a row. 11 in a row. 11 in a row.
Enough.
38 in a row. As in 38 unanswered points when we were whipping that ass.
Ranch Gang, stand up. The holy war is upon us. Welcome to Reed's Ranch, the podcast with Seth Hughes.
Like, just quit acting like this is any fun at all.
Another edition of Reed's Ranch coming at you Thursday, March 3rd. Seth Hughes joins me down in Alabama. What's up, Seth?
Not much, John. Happy to be here. Good to hear your voice.
I really thought we would be doing this podcast talking about the Vols having a chance to win the SEC championship, to control their own destiny, I should say, to win the SEC championship. Mississippi State gagged all over themselves to eliminate that dream from us, to withhold that dream from us. So, a little bit sadder today than I had thought I would be.
How bad were those last two possessions by Mississippi State in regulation?
Was the second to last possession the 10-second call, or was that the third to last possession? When was that? Okay.
I think it was the second to last.
Either way, a 10-second call is all you need to know about these idiots. They got a rebound up two with the ball, and their best player, at least their best guard, gets a 10-second call getting the ball over half court. That's all you need to know. And then they airballed a potential game-winning three by about 4 feet.
Not even close.
They hadn't hit a three all game. They get the ball to their best player in the corner after not going 2-for-1. And, yeah, then he misses it by 3 feet, and then they get absolutely smoked in overtime.
Not even close. I felt like Auburn couldn't stop that Tolu Smith dude. As disappointing and as annoying as that game was, like, I stopped paying attention in the first half because it looked like Auburn is going to drill them.
They got up 19.
So I paid more attention to LSU and Arkansas. And the ending of that game was truly nauseating to me. Like, everything about it, from LSU gagging all over themselves to the way Musselman acted at the end of the game, running around like a maniac, pounding his chest, showing everyone the Razorback on logo on his shirt. That game just—I don't even know. I mean, it looked like that Tennessee was going to just kill two birds with one stone. Arkansas was going to kind of get their wings clipped before we had to play them this Saturday a little bit, and we were going to be able to play Saturday with a chance to win the SEC championship game. And both of those things just dissipated like mist, like fog before a sun. I mean, just like. And it was just like, you just left staring at the TV saying, like, what in the world just happened? I mean, LSU, like, missed, just started, the layups LSU had, the shots at the goal that LSU had, they weren't even close. They were as far away from making it as Garrison Brooks was from making that three for Mississippi State at the end of regulation last.
I was personally happy that Arkansas won that game, just personally. I didn't really watch the celebration. I did notice like they were going crazy. They were very happy to have won that game. They were,
yes,
they were flying high. The fans were going crazy. The players were going crazy. I was a little surprised at how happy they were. But I was happy Arkansas won because it doesn't really affect Tennessee's seeding because Tennessee has to win regardless on Saturday. And I think Saturday's game's bigger now. I wanted the game to be big. Selfishly, because I'm going to be there again. Not to brag, Big Game John's going to be in attendance. So I wanted Arkansas to come in riding high, and I wanted that to be a very, very important game where, you know, technically both teams still have a chance to win and win an SEC championship, although I do not believe South Carolina is going to beat Auburn. But at least that game, you know, is for the two seed, basically.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the game Saturday is very important still. It'll be another, a really nice feather in the cap for UT if they were to win. And would, I think, would lock up a three seed. But
a three seed in the NCAA tournament. I was talking a two seed in the SEC tournament just for, if Tennessee wins, they are guaranteed no lower than a two seed in Tampa for the SEC tournament. They have a chance at the one seed. If they lose, they could get all the way down to four. So, you know, Tennessee could finish 1, 2, 3, or 4 in the turn, you know, in the standings heading into the weekend, which means it's pretty exciting. Like, there's still a lot of seeding to be decided, so it should be a good day of SEC basketball.
Yes, it should be.
Did you see the charges that Jalen Williams were drawing?
I meant to bring that up in my rant about the ending of the game, but I didn't because those charges were interspersed throughout the game. I mean, one was so bad that Jimmy Dykes from Arkansas was the head coach at the University of Arkansas for their women's basketball team calling the game was like, that was a bad call. That was a bad call. It was so bad. And Tom Hart was just like subtly like, you know, do you think his reputation kind of matters here? Being like, hey, these calls are absurd. And he only gets them because he's Jalen Williams. Which that in itself is absurd because why are we giving Jalen Williams the benefit of the doubt here? Like, it's one thing, Scottie Pippen gets a regal whistle, but at least his dad is a legend. Now, some of the losers that like the NBA are going to sit here and probably think Scottie's not as good as people say is, but it's Scottie Pippen. Everyone knows who Scottie Pippen is. Nobody knows who Jalen Williams is. But if Jalen Williams is in the vicinity, if he's within 2 feet of a dude with the ball, it's going to be a charge on the offensive player. It's atrocious. It is comical. It's clownish. I mean, it's just the referees might as well go out there in clown suits when calling a when officiating an Arkansas game. It's beyond obnoxious. It's just Arkansas just annoys me. Their fans annoy me. Their fans annoy me. They're so weird. Them calling the Hogs in the restaurant the other night while Cal was eating. You know, John Calipari's just trying to enjoy a meal. And they're just doing their calling the Hogs thing. And it was half-hearted. And it's just like they're calling the Hogs. And you got grown men doing it. I just, you know, I don't like them.
I do think when you say Jalen Williams gets the call because he's Jalen Williams, I think it's because we have promoted Jalen Williams so much and how many charges he's drawn that now the ref gives him the benefit of the doubt every single time. Like, it's not because he's a star by any means. It's just because we know that he leads the country and charges drawn, so he's going to get the call every time. Those three calls last night were three of the worst calls I've seen all year, and they're the same damn game. It's brutal, and I hope that now Arkansas will not have another home game the rest of the year, that shit ends. I hope that he doesn't get that call in Thompson Bowling. I hope he doesn't get the call in Tampa or wherever they end up in, you know, the NCAA tournament. And I was going to say, like, I thought college basketball, you know, I've been watching a lot the last month. I've been watching a lot. I'm locked in. I've enjoyed the product. And I've enjoyed watching the games. They've been close games. I don't know if I would say I've enjoyed the product, mostly because of the block charge call. But I thought over the last week, Seth, that they had kind of started calling more blocks. Like, look at what happened to Vescovy on Tuesday night on that dunk when he got absolutely jammed on. That would have been a charge the rest of the season, I feel like. And instead, you know, they didn't get the charge call. I thought that it kind of shifted a little bit in college basketball. And then I watched last night, and Jalen Williams just flopping all over the place, sliding under passers after they've already, you know, like basically gotten rid of the ball, and he's leaning into them, and he's getting every charge call, and I was disgusted. And it makes me sick. And we get to see it on Saturday. And, you know, chances are if Auburn wins and Florida wins, or if Auburn wins and, you know, Kentucky loses to Florida, we might see it again on Saturday in the SEC tournament in the semifinals. And it's sickening.
It is so obnoxious. Like, it is just, it's helpless. I mean, obviously, as fans, we're always helpless, but it's like, I mean, I don't know of another word to describe it when you see things like that call on Chandler at the end of the first half when we played at Arkansas.
Well, I do not think we're helpless when it comes to this weekend. Like, I do think the fans will make those be called blocks. I do think Thompson Bowling is going to be rocking and that he won't get those calls at home. Or on the road, excuse me.
Yeah, I agree. But it's just, I mean, it's just, you know, it's just so nauseating. Like, the charges in college basketball have been so absurd for years and years and years. And, like, I don't watch much outside of SEC basketball, but, like, in SEC, they've just been beyond atrocious. And it hasn't gotten any better. I mean, you know, they might be calling more blocks, but at the same time, if a man breathes on Jalen Williams, he's getting called for a charge. So, but LSU, I mean,
we hate them too.
We hate, I hate LSU too. So it's a measure of it's a measure of my distaste for Arkansas that I was rooting for LSU last night, who I have no love for. But I find Arkansas just very off-putting and so annoying.
We're going to kick their ass on Saturday.
I think so, too. You know, I think I said last week I thought 10 to 15 points would be the buy. I still think we're a lot better than they are. That I don't really care what happened Tuesday night. To me, there were two good things about Tuesday night. The first one is we won. The second one, Josiah played awesome. And, like, I don't worry about any of our other offensive players that are responsible for offensive output except for Josiah. And he was stroking it. He looked good off the dribble. So I don't really care about Tuesday night. I mean, like, that does nothing for me. Like, it was on the road against a team that can score.
I was a little worried in the first half just at the lack of scoring, just because per our friend, statsbywheel.com, you know, Georgia was dead last, number 358 in rim defense, and it felt like Tennessee should have scored many more points against them. And they still had their two scoring droughts, you know, one in the first half and one in the second half. And I'm just like, man, this is the one team that you should be able to just like, hey, get to the rim. You'll score or get fouled. You shouldn't have 5-minute scoring droughts against this team.
Oh, it was an annoying game. It was a very annoying game. I was, to open up the game, Chandler and Huntley Hatfield had like five missed layups in a row. Huntley Hatfield's were putbacks. And it's just like, how are we missing these shots at the rim? Like, Huntley Hatfield just over and over and over just missed these putbacks, and Chandler missed a layup. And it's just, it was an annoying game. It was even more annoying that we were up 15 and going to bury them, and we let them come back. And I had to keep, like, paying attention to it.
Huntley Hatfield's energy continues to be good.
Yes, it does. And he played his best game in the Tennessee uniform on Saturday. But, I mean, I didn't want to have to pay attention to that game. I don't want to watch any more of Georgia basketball than I have to. And, you know, we let them come back in. But, I mean, I don't really care. Like, it doesn't really – like, we were three days past from being the number three team in the nation. So,
do you think we're better than Auburn? Or do you think if we play that on a neutral site, they beat us? Or it's a coin flip? Or – how did you come out of that game feeling?
That was a bizarre game. Still, I feel like I still don't know what I think, because when they got up 11 to open up the second half, I told my dad sitting beside me, I said, Dad, I think they're just that much better than us. I was like, I just think they're better. They're just straight up better. And I even texted my best friend Luke, and I said, I was like, you know, it sucks, but I mean, we just look outclassed.
I'm glad you didn't text me that dumb shit.
We just look outmatched, and we were just you know, our offense was weird in that I didn't feel like it was just straight up missing shots. It was just, I felt like it was just turnovers. We were just careless and sloppy on offense. And then all of a sudden, we just like totally locked down, and Chandler started driving, and it wasn't like our offense got hot, but we just would not allow them to score. And, I mean, I know that Jabari Smith had a ton of points, but, like, he shot a ton of shots. I mean, so I don't know how I felt. Like, I still don't know how I feel. I mean, I didn't really feel like our offense was ever clicking, really, until that stretch, like, probably under, like, 6 minutes when we hit back-to-back threes. With, I think, Ziegler and Josiah.
Yeah, Josiah had a nice answer after, I think, Jabari cut it to three, and then he came right back down and hit a corner three to put it back at six.
Yeah, that was the first time I felt like our offense clicked all day, which was, it's good because we beat a top five team without our offense clicking for most of the game. Because we've seen we can beat elite teams when the offense clicks. We wipe the floor with Kentucky. But, you know, what about when it's not clicking as well as it can? Could we still win? And we did, and we won just by, like, putting a vice grip on their offense. So I don't know how I feel. I mean, I don't know. What do you think?
I think Auburn is slotting. I'm not impressed with Auburn at all. Like, I thought they should have lost to Mississippi State. I still think Auburn's guards are pretty bad. I hate their guards. Like, I just don't like them. I don't think they're good at basketball. I think they're hot. They can get hot from time to time, which makes it annoying. But I just don't know. Sometimes I'm just like, what the hell are you doing, Bruce? Like, even last night in the second half, like, Jabari Smith didn't get his first field goal until the 4 minute mark when he hit a three. I'm just like, how do you not give him the ball? How does Wendell Green have as many field goal attempts as Jabari Smith at this point in the game? Like, how is this happening?
Yeah, I don't like Green or Katie Johnson at all. I like Zeb Jasper. He's a good point guard or whatever, but it's like,
he can't score, though.
He doesn't score at all. So it's like, okay, that's one guy that he's just not going to shoot the ball.
Yeah, so I mean, it's fine that he's a good point guard, but like, if they don't have Jabari Smith go off, and even now, I feel like you could pencil Jabari Smith in for like 27, 28 points. They need to have a good Kessler scoring game and then have one outburst. Like last night, it was Katie Johnson to start overtime. He had seven straight points. But other than that, like they just didn't have they don't have another scorer. They have no bench. Like I think we're better than them. And I, quite frankly, at this point, we have talked about Kentucky. I think Kentucky's better than them. And I feel like on a neutral site, Arkansas might be just as good as them. So like I'm not worried about facing Auburn in the SEC tournament, but I don't want to have to face Auburn and Kentucky. You know what I mean? Like I would
agree completely.
Love to play Arkansas and have Auburn or Kentucky knock each other out. I don't want it to be like 2019 or 2018, whichever one it was, where you have to beat both of them.
I just don't want a repeat of where like Tennessee versus Kentucky is the true slugfest, and whoever gets through that game as the winner is going to be exhausted and just tired and beaten on Sunday because they just got out of a heavyweight fight, and that's what I think it would be. I think that's what it would be. I think Tennessee, Kentucky, you know, I think if they had to play each other on Saturday, it would be a slugfest.
Come on, Florida. Come on, Gators. Let's go, Mike White.
We need Mike White to do us a solid.
Let's go, boys. Your tournament life is on the line, although I think you should be in right now, but if you definitely win on Saturday, you're good. Let's go.
Auburn's guards, like Wendell Green and Katie Johnson, it's like they're volume shooters, I guess. And it's like, if they get hot, then that's cool. Like, I've seen Wendell Green get hot, and he just torches the other team. But it's like, they don't shoot well from three as a team at all. They're terrible from three as a team.
All I know is they let that Cambridge guy continuously shoot threes. And he hit a big one last night, and the announcer said, that's his fifth made
his
three.
His fifth!
Of the SEC conference schedule, that's his fifth made three. I've only watched Auburn play like a handful of times. But that motherfucker shoots at least like six times a game. How has he only made five?
So I started watching like right before he made that three, when he had shot the previous one, and the announcer said the color guy was like, well, he has to keep shooting because he has to get out of this streak. So I'm like, okay. He has to get out of this cold streak. So I'm like, okay, well, he's been a slide the past, you know, handful of games or whatever, but he was hot before that. Then he nails the next one, and the play-by-play guy says it's his fifth three of the year, and I'm just like, what? Why is he in the game? They had Allen Flanagan on the bench.
That guy's always in the game and always shooting.
They had Flanagan on the bench last night in crunch time for Devin Cambridge. And I know Allen Flanagan's not the same guy as he was since he tore his Achilles, which is sad for his sake. But he's still good. I don't understand, like, what they had. You know, they have Johnson and Green out there together, which that just means that, like, when you have both of those guys out there together, the chances of Jabari Smith getting a shot just plummet. Forget about Walker Kessler. Walker Kessler might not even exist when Wendell Green and KD Johnson are on the court together.
Walker Kessler is there to grab a rebound, and that's it.
They might look down their nose enough to toss the ball to Jabari Smith, but when those two are in the game, one of them is getting a shot off. And I don't like either one. They both annoy me greatly.
Producer, save this in case we lose to Auburn in the SEC tournament after we just bashed them. So just copy that and have it ready to go in case we have to play that. And also keep it in case we play them and we kick their ass. I got my tickets to Tampa. You got yours yet?
I do not. So they came through on Vivid Seats?
Well, no, I bought them. I guess I should say I bought them. They haven't came through. They said Vivid Seats says it's confirmed. But it's like delivery date was supposed to be March 1st. And then I get an email yesterday saying delivery day is now March 7th. And I'm just thinking, huh, so it's email delivery. Why the hell don't I have them yet? Should I be worried, Seth, in your opinion?
Yeah, I don't know if outright worry is fair yet, but I think definite concern.
Like, do I call them already and be like, hey?
Yeah, I would call them.
And just be like, hey, what's the method? Like, what's the process here? What's my safety net? Because, like, there are other tickets up there now, like, getting bought up. And I'm like, well, should I buy some other ones? Can you just cancel this order? Are you going to make sure I get in the game at this price, at this level? Because they're pretty good seats. I think the guy fucked up, honestly, because they were only $440 for the whole session in the club level for all the games. Yeah. And, like, the ones that were somewhat near there in club level were, like, $1,200 a game. Or $1,200 a ticket for the whole sessions. So I don't know if he accidentally put it up there and fucked up or just wanted to sell them and he doesn't care because he's like just an executive somewhere and he's waiting for the tickets to come through with his company. I don't know what the hell's happening. But I don't want to get there and then all of a sudden get to Tampa Bay and not have tickets or be trying to scramble and then be like, well, you have X amount of dollars to spend. Good luck. And that's only upper levels now. I've never had this happen before of tickets, so hopefully somebody has some advice.
Well, the good news is that you'll get your money back no matter what, which I know at the very least you get that. But when we played Auburn in the SEC championship game last time, we bought tickets from someone on StubHub or Ticketmaster One, and Ticketmaster, StubHub, whichever one, those tickets that we bought, like they had a booth in a hotel in downtown Nashville. Like, it wasn't really a booth, but it was like a little meeting place in one of the conference rooms at this nice downtown in Nashville. That's where you went to get your tickets. And they weren't digitally delivered. And so we went to that before the game, like an hour and a half or whatever before that game at the Ticketmaster booth at this hotel. And like, we had gotten screwed over somehow. Either the person we had bought them from had screwed us over, or like Ticketmaster had accidentally given them to somebody else, but we had gotten totally screwed over. And so Ticketmaster realized what had happened. And I can't remember which one it was, but Ticketmaster gave us two tickets that they had like in their back pocket that were better than what we had to begin with for free of charge. Just gave them to us. And we're just like, we're sorry. Our apologies. Here you go. And we were in the club level.
Okay.
For this. So I imagine Vivid Seats works the same way.
Well, I've always heard that's the case, but on their website, all they said was money back guarantee. And I'm like, bitch, I don't want the money. I want the tickets.
So yeah, we got replaced by Vivid. We got replaced with better seats. Whoever it was through, StubHub, Ticketmaster, whoever, they gave us better seats when we got to Nashville.
Well, I'm locked and loaded for the SEC tournament. I'm going to leave Thursday night or Friday morning, depending. probably Thursday night. But so you gonna come or what? Because I think we're gonna win it.
You think we're gonna win it?
I think we're gonna win it.
I've thought that several times in my adult and childhood.
I've only thought that one other time, and that's when we made it to the. Well, I thought it two other times. I thought it both years at Grand Admiral, and we lost in the SEC championship, and we lost in the SEC championship. So you know, that's close. And then yeah, I mean, I thought it, you know, a couple of times with Bruce, probably.
Yeah, I thought with Varnado we were gonna win. I thought that year that Georgia won it all. Georgia won the SEC championship.
That was the year we were the number one team in the country, right?
We should have won it that year.
We lost to Arkansas.
We lost to Arkansas in Georgia Tech's gym.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, there have been many other times.
There's been some nightmarish games just in that. I mean, just not even years I thought we'd win when we got drilled by like 30 against Kentucky.
We made the Elite Eight year that year.
We made the Elite Eight that year. One time, when I was in middle school, we played Alabama in our first game in the tournament. And it was the mid-afternoon game. And I got off the bus just, you know, I could barely contain myself to get home to watch the game. And it was halftime of the game. And Tennessee was getting drilled by Alabama because Rod Grizzard hit 9 threes in like the first half. I think it was 9 threes in the first half. We were just getting ass hammered by Alabama. And I was just like, you've got to be kidding me. So there's just been some brutal games. But Rick, in his defense, we always perform well in the SEC tournament. Now, granted, we were up 18 against Alabama last year.
Oh, damn, I forgot about that.
So I really want to play Alabama just because I want Rick. He's exercised two demons this year, right? He finally got Will Wade. He finally scalped Will Wade. He's got Will Wade's ears hanging off his belt loop. And he finally got Pearl's ears hanging off his belt loop. And I want him to get Nate Oates. I want him to get Oates. And I think you're correct about Alabama. I don't think they're very good. I mean, they just flat out laid an egg, a massive egg, last night.
That was pitiful.
Hammered by A&M out of nowhere. Buzz Williams looking like a televangelist in that three-piece suit.
Trying to save the season.
Out here just whipping Alabama. I mean, embarrassing.
Well, I think it's pretty embarrassing that you aren't making plans to go to Tampa, just for the record.
Yeah, I know you're gonna keep embarrassing me and trying to make me feel bad every podcast, but I'm still here. I'm still doing my duty.
Yeah, I just thought you were a Vol. I just thought you loved the basketball program. I just thought you were different.
Did you give any money to this guy, Ziegler's family?
Yeah. Anonymously.
That's good. That's circumspect, and it means
that
it's not
about
you. But
you just made me tell
everybody.
Let's delete this podcast. Let's delete this out of the podcast.
I was just testing you to see how much you loved the basketball team.
I'm sitting here right now recording this podcast wearing my baseball NIL special shirt that has all the players' names on the back, making sure the baseball players get some money in their pocket too. Thank you very much.
Well, I have one of those as well. It's on the way.
Well, you didn't order it when it first came out, apparently, because mine's been here for a week.
Friend of the podcast, Will Warren, bought it for me last weekend.
Well, that's nice of him.
Well, I'm going to pay him back.
Oh, okay.
But he's a good man.
I mean,
everyone knows
they have online shopping.
And he's much better looking than Ken Pomeroy, who looks like he hasn't been outside in the sun in like 2 years. But we do love Ken Pom. We do love Ken Pom.
Okay, just seeing if you were balling up or not, but I guess not. Don't try being like the other Tennessee fans that are going to run down there on Sunday. Ooh, we got to get down there, guys. They might win. I got to make the drive now. I didn't believe earlier, but now I'm here. Don't be those guys on Sunday. You sit your ass at home in Alabama, and you watch on the TV with your dad. Don't come there being a bandwagon basketball fan, running there, hoping to get to witness a championship. Just sit your ass at home. Because all you guys were bad luck. Last time we were in the SEC championship, you guys all showed up on Sunday and ruined the juju. We got there. We got our ass kicked by Auburn. Meanwhile, I'd been there from the get-go.
The year before,
you
I
ran
drove to
there.
St.
You're
Louis.
Like, oh, I got to get there now. We're going to win.
The year before,
can you
I
give
was
me
here
some
in St.
tickets?
Louis.
Can you help me? Where do you think how much I can spend on tickets? And I'm like, I don't know, bro. I already got mine.
Well, I spent a lot of damn money on those tickets and left with about 12 minutes left in the second half.
Your ass should have stayed at home.
It's the fastest I've ever driven from Nashville to Huntsville in my life. If Tennessee makes it to Sunday, I'll be there, though. I don't care what you say. I don't care what anybody says. I'll be there, damn it.
Do we think that, like, it being in Tampa changes anything at all? Because, I mean, it was in St. Louis when we lost to Kentucky, right, in the SEC Championship?
Yeah. Yeah.
Do we think it being down in Tampa has any type of effect? I mean, because I do think it'll probably be pretty light on Tennessee fans for the most part until, you know, maybe they get it there on Sunday.
Yeah, when it was in St. Louis, it was overwhelmingly Kentucky fans.
That's what I'm afraid of now.
For the entire, so Tennessee had the double bye that week, that year too, obviously, but we watched all four games on Friday and all two Saturday and both and the one on Sunday, and like the Kentucky fans were there that whole time. Like, they come and they stay. Like, not all of them, but like the people that sat beside us, they were Kentucky fans, and they were there the whole time we were, you know. And then, but there were just as many UT fans as Arkansas fans, which was surprising because St. Louis, Missouri borders Arkansas. And like, it's not a terrible drive to St. Louis from Memphis, obviously, but still, you would have thought that as much as Arkansas fans love basketball, there would have been a lot more. But that was it. It was just those three fan bases. And I can't imagine that it's much different in Tampa Bay. Like, maybe more Auburn fans go than, you know, you'd think. Like, there were more Auburn fans in TBA than I would have ever thought. It sounded like on the TV.
Yeah, no, there were. There were definitely more Auburn fans. I'd say 2 to 3 times more Auburn fans than Kentucky fans the week before. You know, granted, that was a Tuesday game, obviously, but still. Auburn showed up for sure.
And so, maybe there will be Auburn fans down there, too. I mean, but I still think that, like, those three fan bases will be the most that are there, and obviously it will be primarily majority Kentucky fans. I mean, as weird as it is, like, you know, when it was in Nashville a couple years ago, like, I tried to get tickets for the whole session, and they were crazy. I remember how crazy they were. But when it was in St. Louis, we paid face value for the entire session, like, and sold the tickets on Thursday.
Yeah, I basically got this. I feel like I got close to face value for those clubs. I mean, they can't be that much more expensive for the whole
session. So, like, as weird as it is, like, it was so much easier to get – it was so much easier to go to the one in St. Louis than Nashville just because of
– I really only got to go to the one in Nashville because my friend Terrell had some books for me. Like, he came through with the hookup. Otherwise, I wouldn't have been able to get them either.
You know, they were just, it was seemingly impossible to get for the Nashville one, but St. Louis was easy. But I mean, St. Louis had the championship game was just like, it was 85 or 90% Kentucky.
Well, please note that when Tennessee makes it to the SEC championship game, if you drive or fly your happy ass down there and we lose, I am blaming you. It is on you.
That's fun.
I just want you to know that. And you are not involved the fuck up. Let's get to some patron questions. Patreon.com/ReedsRanch. Got a new patron, Seth.
All right.
New $5 patron, Sean Murtaugh.
Shout out to brother Sean. We love you and appreciate you very much. Thank you for breaking the drought.
I once watched WrestleMania with brother Sean a couple years ago. Or maybe the Royal Rumble. One of the two. Royal Rumble, I think.
I watched Friday Night SmackDown with my sister Friday night.
How'd you like it?
For a little bit. Ronda Rousey made an appearance.
Yep, she's there.
And then we watched a tag team match between two Hispanics.
Okay.
I can't remember their names now. I knew who they were though. And then,
are you sure they were Hispanic?
Yeah, and then they faced two black dudes.
Are you sure they weren't Samoan?
Maybe they were Samoan.
Well, I just asked if you were sure they were Hispanic.
What was her name?
Was it the Usos?
No, it was not the Usos. Okay. They had a Hispanic surname.
Was it Rey Mysterio and his son Dominic?
Was that his son with him?
Yeah, he's a big old boy.
Okay.
Did one of them have a mask on?
No, neither wore masks. Oh, neither wore masks.
I don't know who the hell you're talking about then. Anyways, moving on. Let's get to some patron questions.
Brother Jackie, aka the Law Dog.
Ooh, ooh.
Instant reaction to Jack Harlow starring in the remake of White Men Can't Jump.
Oh yeah, Seth, what are your instant thoughts? Jack Harlow has been casted in Woody Harrelson's role in the upcoming White Men Can't Jump reboot.
I did not even know that they were making a remake.
I feel like we've talked about this on the podcast. They announced it like 3 or 4 years ago, and it's just been kind of, they just haven't mentioned it since then. Like, Blake Griffin's producing it. The guy that did like Black-ish is writing it and running it, but they haven't ever came through with any of the casting until today, where Jack Harlow, your boy, has been casted as the lead in his first ever. They said it was the first time he'd ever tried to do an audition of any type, and they loved him and cast him immediately.
Well, I will not be seeing the movie based on principle alone because of Jack Harlow. And I advise if you have children not to let your children see it.
I don't know how I feel about it. I love White Man Can't Jump. It's one of my three favorite movies. I don't know if we need a reboot. I don't know if we need a remake. I don't know if we need this. And I don't know how I feel about Jack Harlow being the guy in the role of Woody Harrelson.
It seems a slap in the face of Brother Woody. I did listen to a podcast last year, I believe, maybe 2 years ago. It was during COVID, about Woody Harrelson's father.
Okay.
That is an interesting man.
Yeah, he's got like a long track. He's got a long history.
He was a hitman. That was an interesting podcast. I mean, he took out a federal judge. He claimed to have partaken in the JFK stuff. But yeah, that was a very interesting podcast. Woody's dad was a Fed.
Next question, please.
Brother KT asks, where do you hope the next Fallout is set? I did not know they were coming out with a Fallout video game, but I was told by Chad, our very first patron, that they are making Fallout a television show and Bryan Cranston is going to be the lead character.
Seems old. Like, I don't know who the lead character is of Fallout, but I assumed it was like a younger guy that's running around doing stuff.
Yeah, it is. Which I think will be cool. I've played the Fallout games. They're a lot of fun. Fallout 4, I loved a lot. Loved playing it. It was set in Boston, so you had all the colonial stuff. So I don't really have any thoughts about where it's set, but I think the TV show will be cool.
Okay. I have no thoughts on this other than that Bryan Cranston seems too old to play this.
Walton Goggins, not Bryan Cranston. I apologize to Brother Chad. Walton Goggins, not Bryan Cranston. Walton Goggins is going to play the lead character, which will be awesome because Walton Goggins is awesome.
Do you watch Righteous Gemstones?
No, I do not. Is he in that too?
Yeah, he's the best character.
He was on that other HBO show with Danny McBride.
Yeah, he did Vice Principals.
He's awesome. He's awesome. He was the best part of Justified by far.
And then him and Danny McBride are doing Righteous Gemstones as well.
Okay.
And he plays Baby Billy, an old man, a white-haired televangelist, down on his luck, trying to leech on to the family. Yeah, he's good.
That is funny. Brother AJ? Which college town has the coolest name? We're really reaching for questions here.
Yeah, I'm just gonna skip that one, unless you have an answer, because I think it's a stupid question.
Pretty cool college town name. Maybe because my mom.
That's what I was gonna say, but I didn't want to dox your mother.
Well, too late now.
Producer,
cut that out.
Producer, cut that out.
Let's cut that out. Brother OG Matt, will the national media brag on Tennessee's fans for their support of Zakai's family as much as they demonize them for the Ole Miss game? No, of course not.
I don't know, man. I think it's going to get talked about the rest of the season. You know, people were talking about it. Shout out to patron Dan's friend who brought it up. I don't know his name. He blocked it out. But, you know, this might make us the Sister Jean Cinderella type of team. Maybe we got karma on our side. Maybe this story is going to be talked about all throughout March. How great we were, and how we brought all the SEC together. Because shout out to Arkansas fans, they donated too, and it got shared around. But, like, you know, maybe this is going to be the feel-good story of March. It's a pretty big deal, man. $350,000 in, like, a day is pretty damn stout.
It's amazing. It's incredible.
Especially, you know, I hope Zakai and his family don't rush to, like, donate leftover money, because you never truly know what's left over. I feel like expenses and, like, replenishing things are going to be tough. And, like, I don't want them to, like, replenish just what they had, because obviously, like, it didn't sound like much, you know, if you read the stories and everything. Like,
I want them. I want his mama to build a $300,000 plus house for herself.
Yeah, I mean, I would like for them to move to Knoxville and be very comfortable. And like, it obviously seems like this guy is going to be one of the most beloved Vols ever.
Yeah.
So like, I would like for them just to be comfortable and not have to struggle anymore while he's bringing so much, you know, to the table. So like, I hope they don't rush to donate it. So I hope that doesn't become a distraction as he feels like he has to figure out this money situation, and reporters are asking that because they made the statement they're, you know, donating to charity. So that's my only like concern as far as the narrative goes and putting pressure on him. Otherwise, maybe we got karma on our side this March, which starts, you know, next weekend when I'll be in Tampa watching us win the SEC championship and Seth won't be, just for the record.
It's true. It's true. Brother Jonas asks, can we get a pre-conference baseball season prediction from John and Seth?
The baseball team's good, man. I didn't know. I mean, I don't think anybody knew, or at least we had questions about how good the pitching staff was going to be. And it's fair to say, like, hey, we still got to see what they do against better competition. But I'll be damned if we don't have some arms. We got some arms this year.
Yeah, I mean, it's like even without Blade, I still think the pitching staff is better than it was because, I mean, Friday, you had...
Last year, you were piecing it together, and like you had guys pitching over their heads a little bit, it felt like.
Yeah, you had, the guy from Morristown, the lefty, the soft lefty, who gave it his all and had very good games. But I mean, the talent level, there was a big talent disparity between Dallas and Blade to him. And this time, there's really not a talent disparity between Dolander and Burns. And if you get Tidwell back, there's really not a talent disparity there either. And then you have Sewell coming out of the bullpen, or maybe the third starter. I mean, Sewell, people aren't going to hit Camden Sewell. He's not going to throw 97 and 99 miles an hour like the other starters. He's going to sit at like 93, but nothing he throws is straight. He does not throw a single pitch that is straight. And he was incredible the second half of the year last year. He was absolutely incredible. You know, people just aren't going to hit him. I mean, what's the one thing you could say about it right now is we don't have a lefty like starting, and that's it. And who cares? Because I don't think people are going to hit Dolander, Burns, and Sewell. There's some other guys in the bullpen that still need to, you know, prove themselves, but that's just every year. There's going to be guys like that every year. You still have Kirby Cannell, who doesn't need to prove himself. You still have, Redmond Walsh, who doesn't need to prove himself. He's not going to throw a pitch over 85 miles an hour, but nobody's going to hit him either. So we have some arms, and we obviously can crush the baseball.
The hitting seems to be really good, but again, we just haven't really played anybody. ETSU's solid, I think.
Georgia Southern solid.
Okay, that's true.
They were picked second in the Sun Belt or whatever. ETSU. So I mean, it's an embarrassment that we played a 3-game series against Iona.
Yeah.
Like, don't get me
wrong. What the hell is Iona doing even in D1? Like, why are they in D1 baseball? What are they trying to accomplish?
You know, their players. If you're their coach, like, what are you doing, man? Those players don't deserve that. Like, those dudes don't deserve that. They got beat like 47-3 in 3 games against Old Dominion the weekend before. And then they come to Knoxville and they just get, like, that was beyond embarrassment. Like, it was sad. Like, and what is Tony doing? Like, why are we playing these guys?
Is that on Tony? Like, I feel like he should know, like, what they have, right?
I feel like he should. I mean, you know, like, obviously, you don't have to go out and play, like, a series against Oklahoma State or, you know, Oklahoma State came to Vandy and played them. You don't have to go play a series like that because you're getting this Shriners Classic.
And you're about to play the number one team in the country on MLB Network in front of, you know, baseball fans.
So you don't need that because of the Shriners Classic and, quite frankly, because it's going to get hard in a hurry. And this month, Tennessee goes for a 3-game series at number 2 Ole Miss. But, like, come on, man. Like, come on. Iona was so bad, they put in a dang run rule for the third game or whatever. Or made the game end early, whatever. I mean, it was just sad. Like, but yeah, the Tennessee baseball team is really good. They should be ranked higher than 16th or whatever they are.
In the media email I got, Tennessee is claiming they are ranked sixth in the country, just for the record.
There are about six different polls in college baseball. I realized this last year. There's about six different polls in college baseball, some of which I had never heard of, that will they have just these huge disparities.
Well, one of them picked Tennessee at six, and Tennessee is running with it, which I have no problem with.
So, you know, Tennessee is 17th in D1 baseball this week. And, you know, it's just kind of like, you know, come on, man. Come on. Like, Mississippi State lost a series to a good program in Irvine or Long Beach. I think it was Long Beach State. A good program. But then they dropped a game to Northern Kentucky. And they're still ranked 9th in D1 baseball. Arkansas is 4-2 and still ranked 3rd. It's just like, come on. Anyway, the guy that runs D1 baseball is a dork. He's a Texas A&M alum who does not like Tennessee. He thought Tennessee fans were uppity last year because we had the nerve to think that Tony Vitello might stay.
So the biggest home series is definitely Georgia, right?
Yeah.
That's the last one of the year as well, right?
Yes.
Outside of the one-off against Belmont the week after, it's just a one-game midweek thing.
Yep.
So that could be a big one. Georgia, like Georgia's ranked number 5 in that same poll, apparently, that we're ranked 6th in. So, like, I mean, everyone has them picked ahead of us, so.
Yeah. I feel like the two biggest home series are the first and the last one. And I know South Carolina's not ranked. They're not what they used to be or whatever. Tennessee took the series last year. But, like, South Carolina's still a good program. And so, but it's at home, and I really feel like you could sweep that series. I mean, that's saying a lot. Like, the key is just to win 2 out of every 3. But, I mean, they play 4 top 10 teams on the road in SEC play.
Yeah. Schedule is pretty brutal this year when it comes to that.
Like, you have to sweep Missouri at home. You probably need to sweep one of South Carolina or Alabama or Auburn at home, too, aside from just making sure you win all those series. Like, because it's going to be hard to win 2 out of 3 at Ole Miss, at Vandy, at Florida.
Yeah, you're going to have sweeps to counter, you know, to balance that out.
Yeah, and you might even need to, like, when you, like, there's going to be some road series that you just can't afford to lose. Like, you can't afford to lose the series at Kentucky.
I'm pumped, though. Like, I think tomorrow against Texas is going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I do too.
As Weeks points out in the live chat, who cares about pitching when you're hitting bombs like Tennessee does? That's true. Like, Tennessee's offense is explosive. I still think you're going to need pitching, obviously, but it looks like Tennessee's pretty balanced right now. They look good. My fears have been alleviated, or even like the doubts that people had about whether or not they could, you know, sustain this program have been alleviated, because it seems like they got just a bunch of new dudes that can fit in, and the transfers are good, and everyone that's waited their turn is performing so far.
Yeah, it's like the Seth Stevenson guy. I probably should have known how good he would be because he was drafted really high. But, like, Tennessee basically got the best JUCO in the nation in Logan Chambers. And nobody really talked about Seth Stevenson, but he was drafted really, really high. And he decided to not go pro. He decided to come to UT, and he looks awesome. Chambers is awesome. It's like the guys they have plugged in. Like, Trey Lipscomb was a really highly rated recruit. He just had the misfortune that Jake Rucker signed in that same class. And Jake Rucker was really, really awesome. And Lipscomb, you know, waited his turn or whatever, and now he looks awesome. And they definitely have the hitting to where, like, if Burns, being a freshman, struggles on a Friday night or whatever, well, Tennessee's going to score some runs. So they look very – they look like they're going to be a very prolific offense.
Any other questions we need to get to?
Brother CB, how is the Russian-Ukrainian war affecting the t-shirt shortage?
Well, you know, at our first, we've really just been having to fight uphill with this. I mean, the t-shirt shortage that resulted from the pandemic, it's been brutal. It's been long, you know, been long-standing. And then you look at now, you know, Russia and Ukraine going head-to-head, and you have to ask yourself a couple things. A, like, how does it affect us? That's a good question. Like, the assembly line and just, you know, products. We are still dealing with the pandemic. I know that the mask mandate might be getting lifted some places, but the pandemic is still strong and alive, as you've seen in the hashtag Corona Watch. We still, you know, have 72 deaths or so a day. And it's also important to keep in mind, like, do you really want to focus on shirts while there is war going on right now? You never it's need true. To know. We might need to save that fabric to, you know, bandage people up if it gets really, you know, hard out here. And, you know, just keep that in mind. You really want to complain about shirts while people are dying and fighting for their freedom during a pandemic as we're fighting for our lives and freedom here, depending on which way you look at it, our lives to get back out and live normal after the pandemic, or, you know, just, I don't know, somebody's grandma might still be on the ventilator. Just things to keep in mind. So how does Russia and Ukraine, you know, directly affect it? More so just like a mentality so far of like, there are more important things that we have to worry about. Like, we need to save our resources and save our attention, you know, to changing our Twitter avies to, you know, blue and yellow flags if you're on that side, and, you know, Russian flags if you're on the other side, I guess. But feels like that would be unpopular if you put your avi as a Russian flag. Just
yeah,
maybe don't do that.
Thank you. I would advise against that.
Yeah, maybe don't do that. But yeah, let's just focus on more important things right now. There are kids dying.
I mean, I would advise Brother CB to open up a map and look how big Russia is and think that the overland trade routes might be affected by a country that spans 9 time zones being in a war.
And then you
just think about it.
And then you look at, you know, the way they're shutting off Russians from using like Apple Pay and Google Pay, and just we're under cyber attack in the world too right now. You know, really we're having to stop and think like, man, is this a good thing that nobody has money anymore? Like hard copy money, physical money, and we're all just on our apps. Like, what happens if the app shut down like they're doing to Russia right now? This seems bad. And, you know, just bigger things in life to worry about, CB, just to answer your question. Bigger things
John
to worry about.
John has become one of those boomer libertarians that are really weirdly into gold currency.
Well, you know, that's as I wear a gold chain around my neck, that's the only thing tangible that we actually have. Because who knows? This credit card
Ukraine
could decline.
Yep,
my Venmo could go canceled. Vivid Seeds couldn't give me my goddamn tickets. Who knows?
Ukraine is the breadbasket of Europe. Many people know this. Many people say this. It's the breadbasket of Europe. So, yes, it does affect the T-shirts. It does affect the T-shirts. Because if you can't have grain to make food, you can't have T-shirts. You can't have textiles if you don't have food.
Seth gets it. He understands. Does that answer your question, CB? Seth, let's. Are you busy Sunday?
No, I'm not. We'll do a podcast Sunday.
Let's shoot for 4-ish p.m.
Sounds good.
We got basketball at 1. We got our first victory last week. We're hitting our stride now. We've had a couple close losses, and then we finally broke through with our first win, so we're playing better. We're playing better. You should be happy to know that.
That does please me.
The Reeds Ranch Discord basketball team is playing better. We got a game on at 1 o'clock on Sunday, and then me, you, and I think Brother Will is going to join us. We are going to podcast around 4 o'clock because next week I don't know what my schedule look like. Tuesday is my birthday. You guys all jot that down in your calendars. Remember to text me or wish me happy birthday on the Discord. And then, I don't know if you knew, but then on the weekend, I'm going to Tampa to watch the SEC tournament and support the Vols as they try to win an SEC championship, where you won't be. Just wanted to point that out again. But I love you, and I hope you have a good week.
I love you, buddy. I'll talk to you soon.
See ya.
Bye-bye.
Yeah. Uh-huh. So I'm fucked up, geeked up, leaning like a tree trunk. I just dropped the blunt, doing jumps off a speed walk. I don't keep no girl, but they just show up when I need one. Baby, give me life like it's not at the museum. Hey, all about my freedom. Nigga, fuck your ego. Tryna move the people. Tryna catch a threesome. Hey, you think we competing? Our goals is different. I told you niggas. I can never be happy with millions, at least 10 figures. I need a Billy. A Billy. A Billy. A Billy. A Billy. A Billy, huh? Really? Huh? A Billy, oh. A Billy, hey. Billy, a Billy, oh. A Billy, hey. A Billy, oh. Really? A Billy.
Read a lot of books on my bank account, whoa. Bitch, up 24/7, that ain't no joke. I'ma get money long as grass still grow. Cause it's hard being a nigga, it's worse being poor. I spend thousands every week, man, I gotta make sure my people eat. I done bury soldiers from the folk, ball out for my niggas from the three. Got a milli, man, I want a billy, man, I want a trilly, man, I want some more. I'm buying my hood up, I got like 25 streams of income and they on heavy flow. Grew up with hoes all in my clothes, shopping at Burlington looking for coats. Niggas back then had a whole lot of jokes, fast forward 10, I'm flipping off boats. Let me slow it down a bit. Flip the coins like big. True story, my first advance. A lot of ones with the strippers. Still a West Side nigga. Even though I rock the turban. Bad lady in the background. Count it up, cause I want a Billy. A Billy, a Billy, a Billy, a Billy, a Billy, a Billy, really, a Billy, a Billy, a Billy, a Billy, a Billy, a Billy, really, a Billy.
I feel like a god on this earth, little nigga. I can't tell you slow up on these perks, little nigga. Bad bitch, she came with a big perk, little nigga. Mad rich ain't there to get you murk, little nigga. Put up olives in the field, but all the junkies in the scammers. Gucci head to toe, look like I got on my pajamas. I put on my chains and I get ghost on a bitch. I get on that drink, now she won't sip my cup now. Round with my effing in my hand, got my top down. Count money and find up a blunt while I get mopped up. Ain't got no time to be explaining to my midnight. I get out when I get there and ain't stopping at no red light. Came out the bando with them junkies and zombies. A-town nigga known to go to church on a Monday. Heard about a murder, no, we don't know nothing. I be posted up with them demons, where you find me at?